Chapter 56 Metamorphosis. I wake from hibernation with a start. After nearly a turning, my great ward has restored me to strength. But even here, at my center of power, a safe hold far from the remains of the hive, I no longer feel secure. After millennia of domination, I am hiding from surface stock. The idea disgusts me. But though my flesh has healed, it still tingles with the memory of the symbols of power forcibly inked into my body, using my own magic against me, of the burning chain that bound me. Not since I was a hatchling had any creature, even the most powerful of my brethren, dared touch my body or make me fear for my life. Yet these filthy mammals, no older than a blink of my eye, struck me, bound me, tortured and mocked me, forcing me to debase myself to survive, to lead them to the hive, that they might attempt to destroy it. With no way to refuse, I twisted their goal and made it my own. Once, the hive queen had been a sleek, killing machine, radiating power and intellect. It was a pleasure to serve her. But queens grow with each laying, and she had grown so bloated she could no longer leave the birthing chamber. Millennia trapped there atrophied her mind. After thousands of turnings, none wished to be free of her more than me. Free of her constant need for the security of my presence, her constant hunger, her irresistible psychic demands. I had been her slave too long. If the humans failed to penetrate the hive, I needed only take care not to die with them. And if they succeeded and killed the queen, I would be free of her, and a new hatchling queen would be free to take over and strengthen the hive under my guidance. So I led them to the hive and escaped amid the confusion as my captors battled the queen's bodyguard. I was less than an ember of the flame I had once been when I fled to my safe hold. Now, after many cycles bathed in the power of my great ward and nourished by my personal stock, I am restored and can once again turn my attention outward. I do not know the outcome of the battle, but whatever the new power structure of the hive, none of my brethren remain who are powerful enough to challenge me. I will kill the new consort and regain primacy. And then I will seek my revenge. It is true night on the surface, when there is no satellite to reflect the day star and the flows of magic are strongest. Even in hibernation, I sensed it. I need information before I act, and now is the time to seek it. I concentrate, pulling currents of magic into my great ward and reading them. The human cities on the surface are thriving, each protected by great wards that cast forbiddings over vast areas. My kind have been pushed to the edge of their territory, a scattered remnant of lesser castes, abandoned by their minds and too stupid to realize they have lost. The queen is dead, then. She would never have tolerated this from the surface stock. It tells me the new queen and consort are weak, and regaining primacy will be as simple as killing whichever of my lesser get has bound his mind to hers. I reach further, easily finding the draw of the hive's three-dimensional great ward, formed of caverns and waterways and tunnels cut into living stone. It is my life's work, a nexus of incredible power, greater by far than the smaller great ward hidden beneath the safehold. The hive calls to me, sings, but the song is hollow, like wind through a stalagmite field. There is no life within. My colony is gone. Safehold's great ward responds to my sudden terror, feeding me vast amounts of magic, enough to sunder a mountain. I concentrate, restoring my calm and releasing the excess power. Such a display is a beacon my enemies will sense, and they will send armies to destroy my great ward and hunt me down while I am weakened. Even now, I am loath to leave Safehold, but I do not hesitate to enter the between state, shedding my physical form to become pure energy and will. I strengthen the probing tendril that connects me to the hive and use it to leap the distance, materializing at the center of the great ward at almost the exact moment I vanish from Safehold. The hive ward holds a great well of power, and I drink deep of it, becoming connected to every part of the massive symbol at once. All I sense is death, echoes of psychic screams as minds and queens and countless drones died. Their scorched bodies have rotted where they fell, for even now, no predators are bold enough to enter our territory. I have underestimated the humans again, this time to the extinction of the entire colony. The hive great ward remains intact, but without drones and a royal caste, there is nothing to give it life. Even the livestock has fled. But here, at my center of power, time can be peeled back like layers of flesh as I read the imprint of the hive's magic. The divergence is easy to find, and I absorb it, reliving those last moments as if I were there myself. I see the explorer touch the core and harness a power too great for any physical body to conduct. He was consumed like all that touched the source before him. but an indomitable will, can work a fraction of the cause near infinite magic, if only for a moment before they are destroyed. My sire taught me that. A fraction of infinity is still without end. The victory was near total, destroying every demon in the hive and thousands on the surface. Only the drones at the farthest reaches of the hunting grounds survived. A change in hierarchy I could navigate, but without a queen, there is no way to rebuild the colony. What good is it to rule over a grave? There are other hives, but they are in faraway places and will have powerful consorts of their own. Desperate, I extend my senses, amplified by the Great Ward, and search. The ichor in my veins grows colder as I sift through the pathetic dregs of drones that escaped the surge more by fortune than fate. Only on the sands of the ancient lands are there drones in abundance, and those of the weakest, least useful caste. I am reaching the edge of my perception when I sense it, still guarding the ruins where I was captured. A lone mimic demon, one of the bodyguards I brought to that hated place. It was stranded when our mental connection was severed and has not fed in a turning, but still the creature brims with power. I touch it with a tendril of magic, and the mimic enters the between state instantly, rushing to me like an excited pet. I run a hand over its liquid black scales, shivering with pleasure at their latent power. I can feel my body changing. Without a queen to suppress me, I begin emitting triggers, both pheromonal and magical, that the mimic absorbs. I divide my consciousness and take control of its body to flee safehold. But we are unable to enter the between state. Already the triggers have set off a chain of events that cannot be interrupted. I instead climb on the mimic's back as it takes the form of a giant wind drone. I draw wards to cloak our passage through the sky, but still I clutch the precious drone tightly until we reach safehold and I feel the Great Ward's protections envelop us. The magics here are strong, the location remote. We are nestled in stone beneath my secret larder, a breeding ground of human stock who have no contact with the outside world, no defenses against my kind. I am God to them, and they willingly deliver sacrifices for our repast. The mimic feeds voraciously. The changeling drones can take the form of almost anything. But this is no ordinary transformation. It is becoming something greater than either of us. When we are sated, I lead it to the well of power at the center of my Great Ward, and there we curl together and fall into a deep sleep, unmoving for many cycles. When I wake at last, the mimic has left my embrace and spun its cocoon. I hiss in pleasure, gliding a talon over the soft silk, feeling the life inside, pulsing as it pulls vast amounts of core magic from my well. Already, the power of the young proto-queen is overwhelming my senses, bonding me as her consort. I am in ecstasy as she dominates my will, making her needs my own. She is not a true queen, but still she is above my caste, and I want nothing more than to be her slave. After thousands of turnings, I had forgotten how it felt, the vitality and power that can only come from a hatchling queen giving me true purpose. I stand, spellbound, for cycles more, waiting for the metamorphosis to complete. When it does, the proto-queen slashes open the silk of her cocoon with a swipe of the deadly stinger atop her powerful, reticulated tail. I have human stock ready, marching them to her by the dozens. She is savage in her hunger, and it is a glory to behold. The proto-queen notices me when her hunger is momentarily sated. She emits an irresistible trigger, and arousal subsumes my being. My male organs have swollen to many times their normal size during my vigil, even as my limbs have frozen. I am immobile, defenseless, as she pulls me in. Her mating is nearly as savage as her feeding, but I offer no resistance. I am helpless before her, our minds linked. If she wished to feed on my body, as mating queens often do to lesser consorts, I would offer her my throat without hesitation. Even without feeding, she nearly kills me. All the power I have been absorbing these many cycles upon my great ward is sucked away with my issue, leaving me with barely a flicker when I am cast aside. Again, she spins a cocoon, falling into a deep sleep as a single egg forms within her. A true queen. The hatchling queen will gorge first upon her mother, flesh and magic alike. Then she too will need human stock to sate her hunger before compelling me to mate once more. Then she will spread her great wings and return us to the hive, where she will feed endlessly, her abdomen distending as she births a new colony. Alagaikar's terrible will fixes on me then, yanking me from his memories. I emerge disoriented. I realize only a moment has passed. But in that time, I feel as if I lived years in the Demon King's body, minds still bound in twisted tendrils of will. I can feel Alagaikar's anger at my invasion, his indignation at being probed by a human. He bats me from his mind as easily as one might swat a fly, slamming my consciousness back into my own body, still caught in the demon's iron grip. The demon's face wears a recognizable expression at last. Open fury. But we were linked, and I know his true anger is at himself, humiliated to once again be humbled by a mammal. I've found his weakness. Maybe it's not just the queen that was getting old and weak. I cannot speak the words with the demon's clawed hand grasping my throat, but he is in my mind, hearing the thoughts like a mocking whisper. Alagai's charcoal lips pull back, revealing rows of razor-sharp teeth. I can see the hate in his reflective black eyes, feel it thrumming all around me. This time the demon doesn't need Irivin to speak. His words resonate in my mind, exploiting my own weakness. My new queen will lead a repast worthy of her glory, one that proves my strength and loyalty. It is customary for a consort to feed his hatchling queen his enemies. The demon's long tongue snakes out over the rows of teeth to lick my cheek. Try as I might, I cannot hide my revulsion, and I know that gives him pleasure. The first flesh she feasts upon will be your parents, then you, and Darren Bales. I struggle against his grip, against his will. Both are overwhelming. And then the woodcutter will come, and the pillow queen. All my enemies, compelled to seek us out as I guide them to the open maw of my queen, that she may feast and make their power her own. And when there are none strong enough to threaten our return, we will return to the hive in swarm. His crushing will closes on my mind, even as he squeezes shut my throat. I try to fight, but all I manage is a weak convulsion before oblivion takes me.